Hi, good morning. We are in Mitzvot Achrimos and Kedoshim, and we'll look at the very beginning of Achrimos, very, very strange sukkim that are probably familiar to us, but if you think about it, are really, really difficult and strange. Turn to page 638, right at the very beginning of Parashat Achrimos, just keep sukkim into it. So the opening of Achrimos tells us about the Avodah Yom Kippurim, the service that was done on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. And it says in Pasuk Hey, Umeis Adas B'nei Yisrael, and from the nation of B'nei Yisrael, Yikach Shnei Sirei Yizim L'chatos. You should take two goats for to bring as Korbanos Chatos. V'ayilachad Olah, and you take a ram to bring as a Korban Olah. The Ekriv Aaron is Parach Chatos Asher Lo, and Aaron had already taken the Sukkim that preceded this, he had taken his cow, and he's going to bring his personal korban, and that korban chatos is going to bring atonement for Aram and his household. And you will take the two goats, and you will stand them up in front of Hashem, Pesach Olam Oved, at the entrance to the Olam Oved. And with these two sirim, with these two goats, Aaron will make a lottery. Goral echad l'Hashem, v'goral echad la'azazel. And with that lottery, one will be selected, one will come out as the one that goes l'Hashem, and one will go la'azazel. To figure out what that means, what does it mean, la'azazel? Then it says, v'yekriv Aaron es ha-so'ir, asher alav ha-goral l'Hashem, so chatos, and Aaron will take the so'ir, he'll take the goat upon which had been declared through the lottery that it's going to go for Hashem, and we'll make that into a chatos. The so'ir asher Allah alav ha-goral azazel, and the goat of which the goral, the lottery, came out that it should go la'azazel, ya'amod chai lifnei Hashem nechaper alav, and will stand in front of Hashem to get atonement, l'shalach also la'azazel, Hamid Bara, to send it to Azazel in the desert. The Kriv Aaron is Parach Hatos HaShalom, the Kriv Adov HaSov Shechad is Parach Hatos HaShalom. Okay, and that's the basic process of the two Seirim. We skip ahead a little bit, just get into a few more details on page 642. And Aaron will put his two hands on top of the goat that's still alive. That's the one that's going la'azazel. The other one was shechted in the in between psukim. And he's going to do a confession on it and put on it all the sins of Bnei Yisrael. He'll put those sins onto the head of the goat. V'shilach bi'ayish iti hamidbara, and he'll send it out with the man to the desert. V'nosa ha'so'ir alav eskol avonosam el eretz gezeira, and the goat which has all these sins on its head will take all, it will go with all of its sins to eretz gezeira. V'shilach es ha'so'ir b'amidbar, and he'll send away the so'ir in the midbar. And as we know, the Gemara explains in more detail that they would throw it off of the cliff when it was out in the Midbar, and then it would be broken down into its bones. And at the point in which the animal was broken down, then the string which had been hanging, the red string that had been hanging in the Beis HaMikdash, one half of which was with the Sayir and one half of which was in the Beis HaMikdash, would turn from red to white. And all Bnei Yisrael would know they had achieved kapara. Isn't that not one of the strangest rituals you've ever seen? Well, what is going on? But it's more than it being strange. It really seems problematic.
I also just find it strange that they're only introduced to the concept of Yom Kippur after all of this. Like, at the beginning of the parsha doesn't even say what they're doing this for. Just it goes right into the details of what they're doing. And not until the end of this whole section does it talk about Shabbaton, Hilacha. I don't know, I just found
good. That's interesting. I'm not sure.
Because when you started reading this, I thought, okay, what are we even reading about? What are we talking about? And I kept reading.
Second Kippur.
Okay. No, but meaning even if it doesn't talk about what we're talking about until later. I don't know, I just found that strange.
Right. Chazal certainly point out that it was clear to them that it was talking about Yom Kippur, but again, how do they see it from the Pesukim? It's a little less clear. But looking at this particular ritual, so just a whole bunch of very strange things. First of all, the Mishnah fills in a few things. One of the things that requires, when you take these two seirim, so first it's strange, and normally when you have to be makdish something, something's going to be used as a korban, so you designate it what it is. If this one's going as a chatas, so you designate it, this is going to be chatas for Hashem, this is going to be an ola, this is going to be an ola. And here, besides the fact that one's going lazazel, which we'll talk about in a second, but why are we relying on a lottery to determine where the carbon is going to go? Whichever one is going to go, so just designate this one is going Lashem, this one is going Lazazel, we'll figure out what that is later. And why are we relying on a lottery? Why are we putting it up to chance? It just seems very... It appears to be chance. Why are we... Again, and we're clearly doing it differently than we would normally do it. Oh. So why would we be doing that? And the truth is that the Mishnah tells us that these two Seirim, for some reason, had to be identical. The Gemara says they needed to find two Seirim that were Shava, Bekoma, Bemaro, Bedamin. That means they were the same size, they had the same value, and they had the same appearance. So you really want everything to be the same, except for the fact that one of them, through this lottery, was going to be determined that it would go to Hashem, and the other one would go Lazazel. So why is it so significant that they should be the same? The concept of that it can carry all of their sins and you throw it off a cliff and everything's better is certainly one that we would like to probably have back. It's much easier than the tshuva process. So what exactly is going on with that? I don't know if we'll be able to talk about that so much, but at least a little bit we'll talk about how is it possible. This is where the term scapegoat comes from. This is the original scapegoat, right? Taking all the sins of Bnei Yisrael, replacing Bnei Yisrael, and the goats being sent out in their stead, and the goats being killed, and Bnei Yisrael, everything is fine and dandy. Again, it almost seems on the surface sort of what we sometimes maybe think is what's going on with Tashlich or Kaparos, where we're trying to sort of replace our sins and put them onto a chicken or bread or something, a fish, whatever else is happening. When obviously in those cases it's very clear that the main component is actual tshuva and the ceremony is secondary. So why is the ceremony so odd here? And then I think the most important thing you need to figure out is what does it mean lazazel? What does the article translate as? Azazel.
That's right.
They're having the same problem as us. What does it mean? What does it mean that it's going La Azazel? It's very... Is it a place? Is it a thing?
What? It says lofty high cliff.
Lofty high cliff. Good. That's what Rashi says. Okay. Rashi, based on Chazal, says that it's a combination of words which tells us that it's a mountain which is Oz Vikasha. It's a strong, and that's telling us that it's being thrown off of the cliff. But it's, again, still not 100% sheer. It's clear. And if you really want to hear some interesting things, listen to this. The Turkey of Elazar says as follows. The Turkey of Elazar says like this. Goral echad Hashem v'goral echad Azazel. One is going to be through the lottery to Hashem, one is going to go to Azazel. V'lama shalchu echad Azazel. Why was one sent to Azazel? Ella, rather, b'yom shenit na Torah li'Yisrael. On the day the Torah was given to Yisrael. Amar ha-satan lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Satan said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Hashem, al kol ha-rishoyim, nasata li rishus, v'atzisu midvar avera. All the Rishayim, all the wicked people, so I have free reign to try and get them, to try and trip them up. Val HaTzadikim, ain't nothing else in the Rishus, but you're not going to, on the Tzadikim, you don't give me the same leeway. It's not as easy for me to trip them up. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Harei Yesh Lecha Rishus Lekache Galayim, B'yom HaKippurim, Yimish Lohem Chet. I'll make a deal with you. On Yom Kippur, you can have full reign against the tzaddikim, against the Jewish people, if you can find chait. As well, if you can find sin on Yom Kippur, then you can have free reign. V'imlav, but if not, ein lecha aleihem reshus. But if not, then you don't have any reign over them. L'fichach, therefore, nasnu lo shochad v'yom ha-kippurim shelevato korban shel Yisrael. Therefore, we have a bribe on Yom Kippur for the Satan, so that he shouldn't mess up the korban of the Jewish people. Shenamar, as it says, Gorala Chod Hashem, V'Gorala Chod Azazel. One is going to Hashem, and one is going to Azazel. Goralo Chelko Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, the portion which is for Hashem, Chatos. That's the Chatos. V'Gorala Shal Azazel, but the portion that's for Azazel, Seir Chatos. That's the seir of the chatos, which is going to, that's the goat, which appears to be a chatos, which is going to the satan. V'chol avonoseyem shal Yisrael hayo alav al ha-seir, shenemar avnaso ha-seir alav eskol avonosom, and through that, they get rid of the avonos of Bnei Yisrael, because now the korban to Hashem is going to be able to be successful, because we've bribed the satan by giving him the korban la-azazel. What on earth does that mean? We're bringing a korban to the satan so that we don't have to worry about him being messing up our korban. Since when do we bring korbanos to devil worship? I don't know what's going on here. So we'll file that away for now.
A few times we've tried to confuse the satan,
right? Right.
We
right. Try to
give them wrong information.
But this is pretty
mislead
right.
Them.
Right. Right. We're gonna get there. Good.
What?
I think too about the symbolism of the red on the goat.
Of the red?
No, it says here that the Kohen Gadol tie a red woolen string.
A red string.
Yeah,
right. Right. The red string is what's going to turn white.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why specifically red?
Yeah.
I think in general. I think in general that red is a sign of being far. It's more of it has nothing to do with those with the shlissel chalos or the red
or any
of those other things. Nothing to do with those.
Yeah.
Red is generally viewed as the sign of chay. That's the psukim talk about. If you're dirty like as dirty as red, then Hashem will make it white. Why white is this the color for purity?
Right.
But why is white pure?
Because it has
the absence of color. I've spoken about that a few times here. It's not, and it's more than just the absence of color. It's that it's a reflection of all the light. Right? White is a reflection of all the light, and the real purity is being a reflection of the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think that's why that's the imagery of the white. Okay, so let's try and figure out what on earth is going on here. Okay, so first of all, we have to realize from the beginning that we might not be able to understand too much. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that es mishpatai tasu, there are certain things, divarim shel mole nechtevu din hu shechtevu, there are certain mitzvot that had they not been written in the Torah, we still would have come up with them on our own. V'elohein, and these are them, avodah zarah, we would have been able to figure out. Avram Avinu figured out on his own without a Torah that there's only one God. So avodah zarah is something we could have figured out on our own, is something that should be avoided. Giloy arayos, okay, certain boundaries in terms of relationships, shvichas damim, you shouldn't kill, gezel, okay, birkas Hashem, all these things, stealing, blasphemy of God, all these things we could have figured out on our own if we just understood there was a basic God in the world. But then it says, "Veschukosai tishmoro." What are the chukim? Dvarim shasatan v'umo solam mishivin aleihem. The chukim are those things that the satan or the nations of the world, they have complained. Say, well, you know, what are you doing? What you're doing doesn't make any sense. So what are the examples? Ve'elohein, achilas chazir, not eating pig. Ulovisha shatnez, not being able to wear shatnez. Ve'chalitza yuvama, that a yuvama has to do chalitza, when that process doesn't make any sense. The Taras Metzora, we talked about a little bit last week, how Metzora becomes clean. Usir HaMishtalayach. And the Usir HaMishtalayach is listed by the Gemara as a classic case of something that the Ummah Sa'olam, that the nations of the world might be, you know, mocking. And ultimately, we have to realize that it's a chok. B'Shem HaTomer Ma'aseh Tovah, man, unless you come and say that there's no substance to it, Talmud Lomar Ani Hashem. The Pasuk says, no, Ani Hashem Chakaktiv, I am Hashem, it came from me. Ve'ein Lecha Rishus Lahar Herbohen, you have no right to question it. So, presumably, no right to question it means to question it in terms of not, of deciding it doesn't make any sense, and therefore I'm not going to do it anymore. But it's always been in Chazal and the Rishonim were always trying to at least find whatever meaning they could in the mitzvot and to try and understand whatever we can. So we will try that. We will try that as well. So what exactly was going on with this seir being sent off? So maybe we'll start on one end of the spectrum and then come back to the other end of the spectrum where that Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is, which is a little bit more difficult to understand. So the first rationalist that we'll go to if we want to try and understand it without too much of the mysticism is always the Rambam. The Rambam in his Dvar Nevuchim tries to explain what's this seir, what's this korban of the seir mishtalech all about. And he says, V'dasha kol chatas sheyomein bo shehub mechaper chit godol chatam gedolem k'mo chatas ha mechayot sebochem nisrafim kula mechutz amachana lo'ol ha-mizbeach. He says, the first thing which stands out about this seir is that we're not, if it's a korban, it's unclear if it is a korban, but it seems to sort of be like a korban, it's being something, one is going Hashem, one is going Azazel, one is going on the Mizbeach, one's going off the cliff. So it certainly seems part of the process of Avodah, the Kohen has to initiate this process of determining which one's which. It seems like it's similar to a korban. So we have to realize that as much as we would think, you know, our first reaction is, well, if it's a korban, it should be on the Mizbeach, it should be in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it being sent out into the wilderness and be out in the desert and being thrown off of a cliff? So the Rambam says, no, you have to realize, first of all, is that we have a category of sins in which the sins are so great that we have what are called the chatos hanisrafos, the korbanos chatos that are burnt. And those korbanos chatos that are burnt, like if the tzibur, the entire tzibur, the entire congregation does avodah zarah, something which is very, very grave, those korbanos are actually burnt outside of the mikdash. They're not burnt on the Mizbeach. They have the Kedusha, they're shechted in the Beis HaMikdash. But the burning of those korbanos is actually outside of the Mikdash. And apparently, he says, the reason is just because a normal korban, the reason that we put on the Mizbeach is because it's supposed to be Reach Nichalach Hashem. It's supposed to go up, and again, whatever exactly, the smell is supposed to somehow be pleasing to God, obviously not in a physical sense, but the korban itself being brought on the Mizbeach and being offered on Hashem's Mizbeach gives a certain satisfaction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that apparently the reason that you have certain korbanos that are for such grave sins that they're not brought on the Mizbeach, they're burnt outside, apparently the reason is because offering that korban on the Mizbeach would not be a Reach Nechoach Hashem. Flaunting that sin that, you know, all of Bnei Yisrael did Avodah Zarah, so that's not something. Again, Hashem wants to give us a tshuva process, which is why He gives us a korban that can be offered. But the Torah is telling us, don't offer that on the regular Mizbeach. That's not the same place as the korbanos that normally are Reach Nechoach Hashem. This is solely for the purpose of giving of having kapara, and it's brought outside. He says, V'chein kol ha'azkar reach nechoach and blosavim deshu lahasir deyot avarazar kol shibarnu on them sreifos elu ha'chatos. When it comes to burning these sin offerings, ha'kavana bohem, the intention is shezeh ha'chit tfar nimcha zirchro v'nedar kemosh v'nedar ze'aguf ha'nisraf. We want to show that the chit is completely gone. We don't want any recollection of the chit whatsoever, so we don't bring it on the Mizbeach in front of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. And we want to say, v'lo nishrav v'na ma'isahu zecher. We don't remember it at all. We're done with this chit. We're throwing it out. We don't want it to be part of us anymore. We're sending it out of the Mikdash, and that's where the korban is, that's where those korbanos are brought. So it says, once you have that model, once you have certain korbanos that are brought for larger chatan that are no longer brought on the Mizbeach, so then the extension apparently when it comes to the Seir La'Azazel is a very similar concept, but it's even worse. When you have the Seir La'Azazel, which again, I'll have to define more precisely later what exactly it's doing, but when you have the Seir which the Torah is telling us is carrying all the sins of the entire nation on Yom HaKippurim, so not only do we not want it to be in the Mikdash, but it needs to be even further than the regular korbanos that are burnt need to be. So not enough just to simply take it outside of the Mikdash, but it has to go all the way out. We don't want to have anything to do with these sins anymore. The seer mishtalech, which is coming, this sent goat, which is coming to atone for all of these sins, all these big sins, for the entire seer, tzibur, atzein chatat tzibur, shechaper mashu mechaper. We have no korban that can match the ability of this korban to achieve kapara. Uki'ilu, I think he's very careful about the ki'ilu, uki'ilu who knows say koach atom, and it says if it's carrying all of the sins, nipnei zeh, lo nirto, lo zvicha, lo yisreifu, lo yikaver klal. So it's not part of any of the normal processes of the korban. El herchiko tachlis harachaka v'yishlach be'eretz gzeira. We distance it as much as possible. Again, the Torah is telling us, we can't decide this on our own. But what the Torah is saying is that the same way you're distancing yourselves from these sins, so just get this korban out of here. You don't want any remnant of this in the Beis HaMikdash. What you want in the Mikdash is you have that red string, it's going to turn white. So the kapara is something that you do want in the Mikdash. But to have those sins, all of the sins of Bnei Yisrael being offered on a korban in the place where it's supposed to be Reach Nichol, is supposed to be pleasing to Hashem, that would be inappropriate. But son of Hashem, but Yishus, we send it where there are no people. Then suffik lo adam shachat. Then he adds. So that's how he understands the fact that the korban is being brought outside of the confines of Mikdash. So it has a different structure than normal korbanos. But then he adds, the ain suffik lo adam. There's no doubt at all to anybody. Shachatoyim eina masos sheyatku migav ish achor migav ish acher. Don't think that sins are some sort of heavy burden that you can take off of one person's back and simply put on another person's back, and now it's his problem. The same way it sounds like in the psukim, that's what we're doing. We're taking our sins and we're saying the sins are now in the goat, and now it's the goat's problem. It has nothing to do with us anymore. He says sins aren't transferred so easily. It's not just a package that you could take from one person and somebody else can then carry it. Aval elu hamasim kula mishalim. All these korbanos that are brought in the processes of the korbanos are a mashal. They're a way of symbolically reminding us of fundamental ideas. Lahavi mora banavesh achidispar lechuva. To have a certain, put a certain fear into people to realize how severe chatoim are, and through that to arouse the person to tshuva. But just, you know, it's not a magic trick where you can just throw this ear off the cliff and it has all the sins and all your sins disappear. The purpose of doing it is to show that we want to distance ourselves so far from the sins, and we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing us to carry those sins away, but we have to realize that that can only actually happen if we go through the process of tshuva. We've cleaned out everything. We've thrown them over our back. We're showing Hashem first that we're getting rid of it and we're doing everything in our power to distance ourselves from the sins. But ultimately, without tshuva, nothing's going to happen. Ultimately, it requires tshuva. So the Rambam would never go for any of these ideas of, again, anything that the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says about Shochad, the Satan, or anything like that. The Rambam tries to explain, within the framework of korbanos that we know already, why this korban is different. He doesn't explain, at least here, he doesn't explain about the goro, but okay, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that it should be done. It's not necessarily a problem, it's more of an interesting point that it's established through a goro as opposed to through something else. But ultimately, he explains the fact that this korban is going lazazel, we'll probably understand lazazel, like what Rashi says, it just means it's being sent off a cliff. But everything that's being done, which is different, is only being done in order to arouse within us feelings of tshuva, so that after going through the actions and doing what we're supposed to do, in the end the kapara will come when we do tshuva.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. Who assigned the accompanying quote people, Kohanim, to go for the azaza?
Who kicked the ishiti?
Yeah.
I see the calling.
Well, these were
Kohanim
that accompanied the
Zazel,
right?
Yeah, it was a Kohen. So you say, hey, I guess the Kohen Gadol picked it. I don't know if it says they did a lottery for that. I don't recall. But it's interesting. It really got to the point. The Gemara tells us this also. And what exactly the Gemara means, I assume the Gemara is saying it as a little bit of a derogatory statement. But it got to the point in the Beis HaMikdash where the Seir Lazazel, the Ish Iti, this person would be leading the Seir Lazazel out, and people would almost be like pushing him and saying, go, get out of here, take our sins, get out of here. And it got to the point where they had to build a different ramp in order for the Ishiti to exit above the people so that nobody would harass him on his way out. And it really seems like what happened, and again, the Rambam would certainly say that it's would deny that it was inappropriate what happened, that they just took it too seriously, and they really got to the point where they thought that you don't have to do anything, but this thing somehow now has our sins on it, so this is some dirty animal that's full of sins. Get this animal out of here, we don't want anything to do with it, when the process was really supposed to be much deeper than that. But maybe that's part of the challenge of having it as a chok as well, is to be able to, you know, do it, believe in it, but at the same time be able to appreciate where it fits in terms of an overall framework. The Barbanel and others try and also give an explanation, but they say something different, and maybe it helps explain a strange line in the I think in the Kli Yakar. I think the Kli Yakar says Here it is. Says the Kli Yakar,
one is going to be brought to Hashem, one is going to be brought to Azazel.
Nirin hadvarim sheshnei seirim elu domim mamish. It appears to be that these seirim are very similar, actually similar to, what else do we know about two goats? L'shnei gidoi izim she'asa Yaakov liYitzchak. The two goats that Yaakov prepared for Yitzchak. V'asa etza'echad mat amim ka'asher ahev ha'chomer. V'zeh chelko shel samo shenitel no shokhar kadei sheikavo Yaakov ha'brachos al'chokom. He says that one of them was being brought as regular food, and one of them was being brought as the korban, and here also he throws in this idea of one of them being brought to the satan, in order that Yaakov would be able to get the brachos. And v'chein nedoros b'shnei sirim elu nitel nesamoa chelko kdei shikabo Yaakov chelko min agola shel Hashem, and therefore it continued for generations. And the Medrash even says, that the Pasuk says in Bereshit that the Gedi Izim were good. How were they good? They were good not only for Yaakov, but they were good for all future generations. It's a very strange statement. What on earth does it have to do with Yaakov and his Gedi Izim? So the Kli Yakar is not 100% clear, and not positive that the Barbanel is necessarily saying the same thing, but he does say something similar. The Barbanel says that the two seirim, ha'yishneya seirim, ha'im remez le'esav Yaakov, that the two seirim symbolize Yaakov and Esav. Shehayishneim achim b'nei yishecha v'yishachas to'omim nolodim mishachas. That they were twins. They were very, very similar. They didn't look exactly the same, but again, they came from the same parents. They were born at the same time. L'chein, therefore, the Seirim, when they started out, needed to be the same also, because they're symbolizing Esav and Yaakov, who are the same. The halacha is that the Mishnah tells us that the two Seirim actually need to be purchased at the same time. So he says, just like Esav and Yaakov were born at the same time, the two Seirim that are going to be brought on Yom HaKippurim, they need to have been purchased at the same time. That's why they have to be the same. The Yaakov hayatzayir kisi yomav kimilas. Okay, it's Ire, fine. And he says, what happened with them? He says, vayayinyan hagorolos, what happened to their lots? Sheshneim hayushavim b'teva umayla. They each had potential. They each could have done a lot with their potential. Amnon b'ashkachas Hashem v'chem laso, but through Hashem's ashkacha, what happened? Nifrad Yaakov v'nachalas Hashem. Yaakov went off to the portion of Hashem. He chose to be the Yoshev Ohalim. He chose to be the one who was going to be close to Hashem. The Nisrachik Esav me'avodas hayotzer v'havaso. And Esav decided to choose the path of distancing himself from Hashem. Like Malachi says, "Ahafti eskav amar Hashem marten b'amel avtanu halo ach Esav liYaakov num Hashem." Esav and Yaakov were brothers. V'ahovas Yaakov es Esav son Esin. And Hashem says, "And I loved the Yaakov, and Esav I hated." So he says that's the symbolism of Esav and Yaakov being the same and going off in their different directions. That's the same symbolism of these Seirim as well. So the one Seir, when they did the Goral, so again, they both had the same potential from the beginning. Just like Esav and Yaakov had the same potential from the beginning, they start out in the point when they're in the Beis HaMikdash, either one could be brought Lashem, or either one could go Lazazel. Through the Goral, through the lots, it's chosen, it's determined that one will go Lashem, the Kravim, a Murav Amizbeach, Nichnas Dama Kodesh HaKadoshim. And not only does it go as a Korban, but it goes to a place where most Korbanos don't go. It goes all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just like Yaakov chose to be with Hashem. And therefore him and his children merited Olam Habab. And the Seir HaZazel, Shayarem is Esav, but the Seir HaZazel, which symbolizes Esav, who Edom Hamar Va'oz Bekochav Rishaso, Hayam Meshulach L'midbar Eretz Gzeira. That one is sent off to the wilderness. Kichein Hayo Esav. That's the Porsche, the lot that Esav chose for himself as well. And he doesn't note it, but there's certainly a similarity between the Seir, where the Eretz Seir, where Esav chose to live, and the fact that it's a Seir, a goat, which is being brought. It's hard to miss it. Many do point it out. I don't think the Abarbanel points it out. But again, the Abarbanel is also trying to avoid the mystical aspect of it. So again, it's a little bit of a, you do need to take a little bit of a stretch to connect it to Esav and Yaakov, but ultimately he's trying to give it a significance that we can understand. He also doesn't believe that it's simply a magic trick, that the sins are going to go. He doesn't have any mention whatsoever about anything about the Satan, any bribery to the Satan. No, he just said that it's really a symbolism of what life is about, and that's really what Yom Kippurim is about. On Yom Kippurim, we're all standing in front of Hashem, and we have this choice. We can choose to go Lashem, we can choose to go Lazazel. In the same way Yaakov and Esav started out the same roots, the same parents, the same, you know, DNA, everything is the same, and they each could have gone in either direction, but they chose which lot they wanted for themselves. The same thing is true for these Seirim. The Akedah Yitzchak takes it a step further, and he says not only is it coming to have this symbolism, but it's also coming to say that Esav is responsible for the sins of Yaakov. That's why specifically we're doing it on Yom Kippurim, because we want to show that it's the fact that Edom, and certainly in later generations, Edom is one that's always causing trouble for Bnei Yisrael. That's ultimately what leads Bnei Yisrael to sin. So it's an attempt also at sort of being melamed zuchus and trying to help Bnei Yisrael out a little bit and trying to pin some of the blame on their oppressors, on Edom, and remove some of that blame from Klal Yisrael. So again, the Kliyakar does mention this idea as well, but I don't think he's going. I don't think he's going as far. Okay. And then there's a strange comment of the Ibn Ezra that we'll have to try and decipher now. Or maybe we'll be mocked him with one more thing. That there is another explanation that the Chazal seem to give for the Seir HaZazel, which doesn't make things any easier, but it's important to mention. The Torah tells us that a strange episode that takes place at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. It says, "Vayhi ki hechel ha'adam l'rov al pnei adama ubanos yaldu lahem." The man was starting to increase in the world, and they had daughters. Then it says, "Vayiru bnei ha'alohim es benos ha'adam ki tavos heina." That the bnei ha'alohim, it's not 100% clear who they are, these sons of literally gods, but you know, whether it's lords or something, you know, somebody powerful, they saw the daughters of man, that they were very beautiful, and they took women, they took wives from whoever they chose. And apparently the morals of the world began to decrease very greatly, and Hashem says, you know, we can't have people around for so long. People aren't going to live for more than 120 120 days.
Years.
Sorry, years. Correct. Years. Good. So the Gemara in Yuma says that why is it called Azazel? Shemechaper Amaisa Uza V'Azael. To bring atonement for the episode of Uza and Azael. What's the episode of Uza and Azael? So the Medrash sort of fills in the details here. So apparently what happened was is that the Uza and Azael were two malachim, and they got very upset at Hashem. And they said to Hashem, why did you make these people, why did you send these people down to the world? They're destroying your world. If you had just sent us down to the world instead, nothing like this ever would have happened, and your world wouldn't be filled with all of the immorality and everything else that's going on in the world. And Hashem says, okay, you think you can do it? No problem, I'll send you down to the world, and we'll see what happens with you. So Hashem takes Uza and Azael, these two malachim, ships them down below. And who are Uza and Azael? B'nei Elohim. They're malachim. And what happens to them once they get down? Right away, Vayiru b'nei Elohim es b'noso adam ki tavoteina. Once they're in this world, they see how beautiful these women are, and then they're the ones who who bring the morality, the morals of the world, the morals of the world down. So, what's this korban that's being brought? La'azazel. Azazel is a combination of the two names of Uza and Azael, and we're bringing atonement for Uza and Azael. Okay. Exactly.
That really would be good for us, that story. You know,
because they can't say. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right, in a certain sense, right. Okay, so maybe we'll try and understand that also. But it is important at least to mention, because it is a statement of the Gemara. Okay, but even as it was the one that I was drawn to, because he says something which is just very, very strange. Says Ibn Ezra, he's trying to figure out what's going on here. And he says, he brings down one opinion that says that don't worry about anything, because the Sira Mishtalech is also a korban, so it is going to Hashem, so don't worry about the Satan. And he says, but you don't need that, ki Mishtalech, you need a korban, ki lo yishchad. It doesn't go through the process of a korban, so we don't have to justify it. Then he says, v'mecholto lahavin hasod shu achar milas azazel, if you can understand the secret which is written after the word azazel, Teda sodo v'sod shemo, then you'll know its secret and the secret of its name. Ki yesh lo chaver b'mikra, because you find other similar things in the Torah. V'ani agale lecha k'tzas hasod b'remez, and I will reveal to you. I'm not willing to reveal the entire secret to you, but I will reveal a little bit of the sod to you with a hint. What's the hint? When you're 33 years old, you'll know it. That's the hint. Okay, everybody knows it?
Well, 33.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know about you. I'm a little old.
On Sunday. So,
there you go.
That's why I was drawn to the Ibn Ezra. So, what does the Ibn Ezra mean? I don't know. So, the Ibn Ezra says this very, very cryptic line. So, we're lucky that we have the Ramban. And the Ramban tells us like this. He says, V'nei, Rama Zecha Rabbeinu Avraham. The Ibn Ezra said, hinted, He says, in a better line before this, we do need that paragraph. Where was that other line? He says, V'nei Rabbi Lazar, Neman, Ruach, Mechatz, Davar, he's this faithful servant who covers it up. V'ani ha-rachel, and I'm the one who goes around talking, Megala Sodo, I'm going to reveal his secret, Shekfar Gilu Oso Rabbeinu Zal v'mekomos Rabim, because Chazal have already revealed it in many places. So what is the Sod that the Ibn Ezra is saying? So he says, V'zeh Sod ha-inyan. He quotes the Birkei Devilazar, and he quotes this idea that he saw in the Bereishis Rabbah of Esav and Yaakov, and something about the Satan intervening, and he quotes this Shokha, the Satan, that were trying to bribe the Satan to not mess up our Kabbanos. What's all this about? And he says, V'zeh Sod ha-inyan, Ki hayu ovdim le'elohim acherim him ha-malachim. That there are people who used to not worship other gods, but they used to worship malachim, they used to worship angels. And osim lahem korbanos, and they would actually bring them offerings. Vehem lahem reach the reach nechoach. Kinyan shenemar v'saman v'katarti uktorati nasati v'nayem. Again, bring the example of Yechezkel retorting the people for having brought these things in front of them. But the Torah forbids any of this. You can't not only accept another God, you're also not allowed to offer anything to a malach. But Siva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom HaKippurim, Shenishlach Soyer Bamidbar L'Sar HaMoshe B'Mekom Bo Sachorban. He says that Hashem commanded Yom Kippur that you bring a korban, you send this soyer to the place where this certain malach is in charge, and that them therefore he's not going to mess things up. So what's the sod? So he says the sod is that if you count 33 psukim from this pasuk, I think it's pasuk S. If you count 33 psukim from here, then you'll end up, you can count it, or I can just remember where I wrote it down, what it is. V'lo yizbechu od as divcheyem la'se'irim. Let's go. Again.
41?
I don't know if it goes that far. You have to count it to the next period.
Right, it's until next.
Should be Perek Yedzayin Pasuk Zayin, and there it says V'lo yizbechu od as zivcheyem la'si'irim asher heim zonim achareihem chukas olam tiyazos lahem dorosom. Perek Yedzayin Pasuk Zayin.
Oh, Pasuk
Zayin. Right, V'lo yizbechu od as zivcheyem. You shouldn't offer any more karbanos. La Se'irim, to the Se'irim. What are the Se'irim? Asher heim zonim achrem, that they're going after, talking about the Goyim. Chukas olam tiyazos lam darosam, you should keep it. What are the Se'irim? So Rashi tells us, La Shedim. It refers to other powers. The other word for that is Se'irim, to the Malachim, to other powers. And that's the so that the Ibn Ezra was talking about. Because why was the Ibn Ezra afraid? So again, what the sod is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that here you are offering a korban to La'si'irim. You're going against what this pasuk is saying, because you're giving something which is this shocha to the satan, which is to appease the satan. Again, let's just still define what that means. So the reason that he didn't want to reveal it is because it can certainly be taken in the wrong way. So he revealed it with this hint that 33 psukim later, Se'irim is used with a different definition, which is Megala, which reveals onto the definition of this pasuk. So Ibn Ezra was afraid to reveal it. The Ramban decided to reveal it anyway. But because the Ramban was nervous about the implications of it, the Ramban explains. He makes it very, very clear. He says that we are bringing this to the Tsar, but he says, V'ein ha-kavana b'siyah mishtalech shiye korban me'itanu elav chalila. We should never think that this korban which is being brought of the Sir Lazalzel is going from us to the Satan. Chas v'sholom. Aval shetia kavanoseinu, our intention needs to be lasos ritzon boreinu shetivanu kach. We're worshiping Hashem by doing what He said. What did He say in this instance? In this instance, He said, bring the korban to this power, whatever exactly that means. V'amashal bazel, what's the mashal to understand it? It says, k'misha asa su'da la'adon. Somebody makes a big feast for his master. V'tziva ha'adon esalisha osa su'da tain manachas la'avdi ploni. And the master, whoever is the king, tells the one of the people who's making the su'da, give a portion to so-and-so who's my servant. She'ein ha'osa su'da nosim klum la'ever ahu v'lo l'chfodu ya'asemo. It's not that the person who's arranging the su'da is giving something of his own volition to this eved. He's simply doing what his job is as the one who has to do what the king wanted. It's not that it's going from him to the eved. It's going from him to the eved because he's fulfilling the will of the king. It's as if he's giving it to the Adon, but his way of giving it to the Adon is by doing what the Adon wants with it, which is to give it to the slave. And it's the Adon who's giving this prize to his Eved. He did what the Adon wanted. And that's the point of this here as well. It's not that we have any intention that we're giving it to the whatever this power is, that's prohibited. Our intention has to be just we're doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Our way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this instance is to give it to the Satan. Now it's still very difficult to understand. Does the Satan really have such powers? What exactly?
Wait, he's saying that we're not really transferring our sins to the actual seer as a goat.
He didn't say anything about the sins. All he was saying is that when we're offering this korban is being given as shochad la satan. It's being given as a bribe to the satan so that he doesn't mess us up on Yom Kippur. That's what the Pirkei the Rabbi Elazar said.
Right.
So he says, so isn't that a violation? That in and of itself, bringing a korban, bringing an offering to anything, anybody, any force,
other than
Hashem, is prohibited. So says the Ramban, yes, it's normally prohibited. The only reason that it's allowed is because that's our way of fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. Had Hashem not said it, it's Avodah Zarah. It's a violation of the Pasuk in Yud Zayin Zayin.
He didn't say that's why we're doing it. Hashem just said to
that's
do.
What to do. So that's what we're doing. We're simply doing what Hashem wants.
Right.
The Gemara said, we're not questioning it. We're doing what Hashem wants. And therefore, by doing this, like the Ramban said in the Mashal, it's not that we're offering something of our own volition to the Satan or whatever this force is, but we're simply doing it as an expression of our listening to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So the point of connecting it to this Pasuk 33 second later is proof?
The Ibn Ezra wanted to say, what the Ramban is saying, that the Ibn Ezra wouldn't have quoted this pasuk at all. All the Ibn Ezra could have said was that what we're doing here is we're bringing a korban to the Satan. Isn't that against everything? No, we're doing it as the Ratzon Hashem. Ibn Ezra apparently was afraid that something like that would be distorted, and people would think, well, if Hashem says to do it, then there must be something to it. If there's something to it, so then I can do it whenever I want also. Mm-hmm. So the Ibn Ezra said, I'm only going to reveal that to somebody who can figure it out with a secret. It has nothing to do with being 33 years old. The 33 was simply a hint to figuring out a pasuk that uses Seirim in a way which would help define this pasuk. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban decided, I guess, maybe it was more important in a way that could be understood to explain this sod than to just leave it as a sod that people are left trying to grapple with and maybe coming up with a wrong idea. So the Ramban says, I will reveal it, even though the Ibn Ezra didn't want to reveal it, but I'll try to explain it, which is why he elaborates and he gives this mashal as well. That's what the Ramban's interpretation is. I don't think we have to, again...
Does the Ramban agree with Ibn Ezra? Or he's just explaining Ibn Ezra?
It seems to me that he agrees. I don't remember... noting that.
It doesn't say something different.
But no, I understand what you're asking. I don't.
On 647.
Yeah, 647.
7, which is dates that they should no longer slaughter. I don't know if you have it.
I have it.
Okay, look at the footnote 7. That's what you're quoting. They should no longer slaughter.
Right.
Okay. That he quotes Eben Ezra. Is that what you just said?
He does, but the Ibn Ezra just wasn't saying it on that pasuk. Right. He was hinting to it through another pasuk. Right. Correct. I think that Ramban.
It says demons of the field. So that's a
right.
Foreign.
Right. I think the Ramban agrees as well. I don't remember noting that he assumes differently. Again, the idea is still a little bit difficult to understand, even the way that Ramban says it. But perhaps maybe to. Sort of
it's nicely tied together.
It does nicely tie together.
It's a nice conversation on this.
Yeah. Is it related?
But yes, it is.
Okay.
Good discussion.
The maybe just to try and take the Ramban. I don't know this is what the Ramban means. Maybe again, and this is something that we've spoken about in the past. But maybe the idea is not, and you don't have to assume. Again, the difficulty with the Ramban is assuming that there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would assume there's some value in offering anything to a forest, as if it's existing on its own. But maybe at least, I don't know, the way that I thought maybe to think about it in a way that was a little bit more easier for me to swallow, was again, the Satan is given the power to be Mekatrik. The Satan is given the power to try and find ways to trip us up. We'll never do anything in Avodas Hashem solely for the purpose of trying to trick the Satan. Sometimes when we're doing other things, we'll do it in such a way to try and be ma'arev as Satan. We have that in the Tikkios on Rosh Hashanah. We do have that concept a little bit. But to design an entire mitzvah for that purpose, we don't find that anywhere. It's certainly one that can really be misconstrued in such a way, which is something that the Torah explicitly says is asur. Just 33 psukim later. So maybe the idea is that Hashem in His kindness decided to design a mitzvah that would distract the Satan. The Satan in Yom Kippur, when he's looking to try and see what we're doing, the shogad for the Satan sort of is almost more like bait for the Satan. The Satan is going to see us doing something which goes against everything that he knows that we're allowed to do. You know, on a normal day, the Satan sees us bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, throwing it off of a cliff, and in a certain sense offering something to him, or not directing it directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This seems like the perfect opportunity. So the Satan is in a certain sense distracted by claiming to Hashem, look what they're doing. They're involved in korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And while that's going on, so the korban of Bnei Yisrael can the way it's supposed to be, can still be brought properly. So there's sort of the Satan, the Yitzhar, are always there lurking in the background. But if we have the opportunity to. That the Satan is distracted in such a way, that's really what the shokhar of the Satan is. The Satan has a chance to sort of grab onto something that he would look to grab onto. Not that even according to the Ramban, I don't know if we're actually offering anything even through the Ratzon Hashem to the Satan, but if we're giving him a certain bait which would distract him, it's still a chiddush in that we would have a mitzvah which appears like a korban which is designed solely to distract the Satan, but maybe we have such idea, and that is very similar to the ideas that we spoke about a lot last year with Megillas Ruth in terms of the lineage of David HaMelech coming in such a seemingly scandalous way. That sometimes when you have the purest things coming out, if it comes from a source that appears to be like Tumah, so then that can allow the Satan to sort of focus on that. If everything is, you know, 100% pure and everything looks perfect, that's where the Satan's going to try and come and be Mekatrik and try to figure out, I don't want things to be perfect. But once things have the appearance of being tainted, so then that's sort of a distraction to the Satan. And maybe that's the idea that the, so maybe even the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, I'm not sure if we have to assume they're saying, you know, the most mystical concepts, maybe we can at least try and bring it a little bit closer to the Rambam Zachoy, and realize that they ultimately it is a lesson for Klal Yisrael, that in order to be able to focus on what Yom HaKippurim is about, which is ultimately the tshuva, we need to take advantage of the fact that the Satan should be distracted. And the Chiddush just says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to do it in a way that appears to be a korban, which is to the Satan, but ultimately that's really setting a trap or setting bait in order that Satan should be distracted and think that our practice is tainted, in order that our tefillos should really go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So we're saying HaYoyal is...
And then Azazel would be to the Satan or something like that. The Maisa Uz of Azazel, maybe you could say something similar also, which is that not that we care so much about these two malachim per se, but it has something to do with the chatayim that they did, and it's a sort of a way of maybe having a permanent way of kapara for immorality. But that I'm not as sure about. But I think
it doesn't necessarily have to be that the Azazel is to the Satan; it could just be as a distraction.
Correct. But the Azazel would be referring to Satan. It doesn't mean it has to be to him. But again, when we're using the word, we're referring to it as going to Satan.